Blog Talk Radio. Another episode of All Out with Mother Satara Becky. Before I start tonight, I'd like to give a shout out and a thank you to Chad Ginter of Jazz on a Mission for filling in for me last night, or for last week, sorry, for I was under the weather and recuperating from surgery and this darn flu that's been going around. And so I appreciate that he stepped up and helped me out. And also, I'd like to give out a warm welcome and shout-out to Kristen Canning, who wrote an amazing piece on womenshealthmagazine.com on me this week. And it actually went viral and went live, so please check it out and let me know what you think. It's under the relationships section. So tonight on the show, we'll be talking about dads and their rights. And I would like to welcome back our guest host, Mikey Rowland, who personally saw as he sat in open court how biased the family law system is and kind of what every dad has to go through. Mikey, welcome back.
Hey, Becky, how are you doing? Thanks for having me back. I'm glad you're feeling better.
Yes, thank you. So I know you've been kind of doing some homework, and so go ahead and share with the listeners kind of what you did and kind of what you saw in the system and any cases that kind of stood out to you.
Yes. So I was on vacation last week. I turned 51 and decided to take a week off. And in my spare time, you know me, I'm very dogged. I went down to visit the family courts at the Dallas County Family Courts. And thought I'd sit in on a few cases. The good thing about that is for men or fathers or even women trying to help get the children, many states allow their courts to have visitors. The courts are open. Some of them don't, so you'll just have to Google your state to find out if that's available. I highly recommend that as a strategy to helping your cases because you get to see how the judges rule. You get to find out the judge processes. For instance, the Dallas Family Courts, one of the judges handled nothing but modifications, right? They were in and out, while others handled fresh, new divorce cases with children, without children. So you get to pick the courts. You know, in a large area like Dallas, there are so many courtrooms that I had a pick of where I wanted to go. So I started out Thursday, went in to look at some of the modifications, and I reviewed four cases there. Of those four cases, three of the men got jail time because even though they brought money down to the court to pay on their delinquencies, they were still ordered to go to jail. Now, what I found is that, for instance, one gentleman brought $500 of a $1,600 arrears, and he had missed some, there are some deadlines that they have to pay this stuff. If you don't pay those deadlines, you're pretty much going to jail. What they do is they'll say, well, you're going to jail. You're to report here in July. And sort of what the courts are doing is, I don't like that the guys are scheduled to go to jail, but what they're doing is giving the guy a chance to make consistent payments. And if he shows up on that date and he's been paying, then chances are they'll say, okay, we're not going to send you, right, because they're getting their money, which this is all about. But those three guys were sentenced to 180 days in jail, and the minimum guy, I think he had 2 months before he had to show back up, while the other couple had maybe about 4 or 5 months before they had to show back up and report to go to jail.
Wow. Now, just out of curiosity, was it, I don't want to say a racial thing, but did you see all types of races that were going to jail, or did it seem like it kind of leaned every way?
You know what? Now, you know me, I'm the last guy to bring up race, but I did keep some of the demographics. I did include race in there because, you know, I'm active in the black community as well. And my job is not to just support men blindly, but I do err on the side of men because of the biases that I find in the court. So I did keep tabs on that. So when I talk to black men about how the courts behave, their preconceived notions, I can actually address them. So what I found is that of the six cases that I saw over the 2 days, two were divorces and four were, like I said, case modifications. Five of the six cases involved black men and black women or black couples.
Okay.
And the other case involved a Hispanic couple. So whether I don't know if it was just those days, but there was mostly there were no white people there. So,
all right. it'd be interesting. Were you privy to any information if it was, say, like a county case or if it was just a private case?
Yeah. Well. What I did is I'll cut to the chase and get to the most exciting parts. Right. The second day, I encountered the best case that I run into. One, there was a Hispanic gentleman. I'm just calling him Hispanic because he was part of that case that I talked about. He and I sat on the bench as I was looking. I was waiting for them to open the courts. He was waiting as well. And you know, I spoke to this guy. He's 56 years old. He had you know, a file in his hand, and you know, his attorney was there, and he was, you know, he looked like he may have been a little bit nervous, but he was very confident. Right, so we got to talking, and I asked him how things were going, and he said, you know, I'm just going to present my facts. My attorney is going to represent me, and I'm going to try to get 50-50 custody of my kids. You know, so I didn't want to jinx him and talk to him that much, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the interesting thing was the final case that I saw, and I was so glad I stuck around for this one. The woman in the case, the man was not there. He was there. So quickly here, she abdicated her primary custody to the man. It was the only case that I saw where a man got primary custody of his children. And
wow.
The reason that she did it was very interesting, and I didn't think about it until I was talking to a friend of mine last night when I think I figured out why. According to her, she had primary custody. She got a job out of and had to leave for a little bit over a year, and so she let her ex keep the children. Over that course of a year or so, she found that he was indeed a good primary caretaker, so she decided to drop the arrears, even though she couldn't. She tried to drop the arrears of child support and medical that he had and drop all child support and requested the court do not go after him for any more child support ever. So
wow.
The judge, and I'm writing, and I'm like, wait a minute. You know, I'm getting concussions from the question marks hitting me in the head. The judge is the same way. She goes, okay, what changed to make this much of an impact? And she stuck with her story that she had gotten out of town. So, you know, so Becky, I'm sitting there talking to a friend of mine last night, and I started thinking. I was like, wait a minute. If she had gone out of town, she could have taken it. She was getting child support. And she had told the judge she didn't want him to have the kids at first because she thought he was doing marijuana. Well, I figured out, and I could be wrong, what I believe happened is this woman caught a case, and she went to jail.
Oh.
That's what I think happened. Because the judge said something was wrong, and she stuck with her story, so the judge went ahead and allowed it. But I believe that she took a case and had to leave. Now, afterwards, I sat down and I spoke with her for about 10 minutes. And I told her who I was, who I represented, father's rights. And she said, oh, I heard of you guys. I said, yeah. I said, well, you know, I'm interested because I've been out here 2 days and I've never seen what I just saw you do. And she stuck with her case. She said, look, you know, I was gone. He took care of the kids. I now know he's a good man. So I just don't want to go to back and forth. The kids are 3 and 4 years old, which I'm thinking to myself, she had another 14, 15 years of milking him dry that she gave up.
Oh, yeah.
I know. You know me. I'm going to put it that way, right? But it was just too good to be true. I did not figure it out until I had a conversation last night where I truly believe that she went to jail and they covered it up. And so now she's giving up the case because whatever she went to jail for, the father can bring that up and actually get custody. So my thoughts on
definitely.
It. But
it would be interesting to see with that case if Dad would turn around and you know, what's good for the goose is good for the gander and file child support on her. You know, that.
Go. His attorney, they already discussed it. His attorney said the dad does not want any child support. He just wants credit for the year that he kept the children. That will offset the arrears that he had, and they're all even now. So,
oh, wow.
I invited her to join Father's Rights, but, you know, now with this theory I got, you know, she might not want to join.
No kidding, but wow, that is definitely, wow, definitely not a normal case, definitely not. I mean, I commend her because, as I always say, you know, we have to think of the kids first, and, you know, whatever, you know, you think about Dad and whatever he's done, at the end of the day, he's still Dad. And if he's a good dad, that he should be recognized as Dad and should be, you know, the kids should know him. And I'm glad that, you know, that hopefully, you know, she's seen that and those babies, you know, get to grow up and know both parents. So, I mean, that's crazy. Well, I've also noticed I'm in the Father's Rights groups, and you made kind of a, I call it the Dad's Rule book. You have like 12 rules that you like to advise your dads and kind of what to think, and kind of how to strategize and go into kind of a I don't want to say toxic, but just kind of really volatile situation that most parents end up in with custody and child support. So can you share a couple of those rules with me?
Yes. So you know, my overall rule is when you're taken to court or threatened to be taken to court by your ex, as a man, you need to think like a woman and not for a woman. And I believe that so many men lose their cases because they go to court thinking that everything's going to be fair, they're going to be balanced, they're going to try to be nice, and bam, the ex gets in and lies and cries, and all of a sudden it's all downhill. Now, obviously not all, but enough to where it's about 85% of women win these battles. So I advocate to go into this realistically. She is at war with you. You don't have to hit her. You don't have to beat her. You don't have to curse her out. But you need to take a strategy where you are protecting yourself so that you can take care of you, your financial future, your children. And then after you settle everything, you can always go back and become friends again, right? That's the way my playbook works. The what I put that out there for is because, you know, some of me and Larry and the other admins, we're getting together to try to put a pin post there to be able to get information. Nothing is guaranteed, but it's a way to look at some things that people don't really consider sometimes, right? And I was asking for additional strategies from people as well, right? So I'll just go into what I found. You know, I've got my favorites, which the first one is think like a woman, not for a woman. But what I found is some people came up with some very interesting ones. The latest one that I added to it, number 16, is if you can, get in touch with her ex-spouse or ex-partner and partner together to bring whatever he knows about her to the forefront. That right there was genius, you know. I love that.
And ironically, I've used that. That's why I'm chuckling. Ironically, I've used that. You catch more flies with honey than you do with vinegar. And I am actually good friends with my exes, all three of them, except the new one. And we call ourselves the Ex-Wife Club. And we all compared notes. And, oh, yeah, he got creamed in court because of it. So I definitely agree with that strategy that, you know, sometimes you just need to kind of put the pride aside and figure out a game plan.
I, t- told you, you got to think like a woman and not for a woman. The other one that I'll mention here is one that came about from one of the smarter guys that I've run into in our group. And he was talking about having a court reporter. Now, in my most recent case, in my hearing, I won the first hearing, which took us into mediation. And you know, pretty much everyone said, hey, you won, unless something drastically changes. She can appeal all she wants. The judge is going to fine for you. But what I did not do is in that primary, that hearing, I did not have a recorder. I thought that they recorded by default. They do not. And she released some pretty criminal activity. It was some pretty criminal activity inside of that hearing, right? Now, the judges will hear it, and unless somebody writes it down or documents it, it's not real. So the next time you appear in court, if you're sitting there thinking, oh, yeah, she said this last time I'm using, the judge is like, well, I don't remember that. And I don't fault the judge. You know, everything has to be written down. The judges hear hundreds of cases. And if it's not written down and documented, then you can't expect them to remember it. So one of the things I recommend is look at getting a court reporter to record your hearings. Now, when I talk to some of the more engaged folks that I know outside of the groups, some legal folks, they said some of the reasons that they do not recommend that is it works both ways. If a father gets up there and starts giving out data that may incriminate him, that case can turn from a civil case into a criminal case against either one of them. So you just got to know, kind of have a strong feeling that you're clean and she's not, and don't give up any information that can incriminate you. So those are the two that I added to that list. But the list is so long, you know, we could post it somewhere, but it's just getting longer and better.
Oh, I like that. Well, we don't want to give away all the secrets because I would love our listeners to join the group and, you know, hopefully add some tidbits of their own to the list and, you know, help out other fathers. And there are a few other mothers out there that are in the fight, too. So I would love for any listeners to, you know, Google and join Father's Rights groups and, you know, just find out. A lot of these guys, you know, they're just fighting to see their kids. And the ironic part is when I joined was because my ex is, you know, I don't want to badmouth him, but, you know, he is a deadbeat. And I was trying to figure out and find out and think like a guy, why? I don't understand why, how a guy could do this. And then the more that I started reading into dads and they're fighting to see their kids and the system that is broken, whether it be, you know, child protective services or that they just are not allowed to see their kids without supervision. And they've never done anything. And it just blew my mind that these guys are spending, you know, their life savings just trying to see their kids. I don't understand. And I know from when I started having, my oldest one is almost 23. And back then, moms walked in and bam, they automatically got custody. Now, fathers, you know, they do have that right to walk in and fight for 50-50. It's becoming a lot more common. And, but I think, you know, there's definitely a lot more that needs to be done. So,
yes. So you're right. I think the difference is now there's hope, right? Before it was just a slam dunk, and now there's hope. And I think guys just kind of give up based on, you know, they think we're still stuck in that era where there was no hope. There is hope now, and men are winning. And the way I can prove that is I've joined other sites, not just women's sites, but just, you know, open, equal rights, parenting rights sites. And I have routinely come across posts by women who some guy read my playbook or he had his old playbook, and he took everything, right? And, When I see guys saying that it's hopeless, it irritates me, especially at the site. You know, a lot of guys come in there and their last, you know, they just got served. They're desperate. They're trying to figure out what to do. And it's hard to try to tone police, the fathers there who have lost in court or who are, you know, going through some things, and tell them not to diminish what this guy is trying to do, right? So, you know, we get around that, but, you know, we want to make sure anybody that joins the site, you know, everybody's welcome. Now, you've seen over the last 3 months, we've had a huge influx of women joining our site. And I won't lie, that's caused some concerns for a lot of the guys there, because we used to be able to sit back and talk as much noise and as much smack that we want to, right? Sometimes it seems that when women join these mostly male sites, they are a little bit sensitive or insensitive, right, to the male's plight, father's plight. And guys will get triggered and go off. So I did post today trying to, you know, show that, hey, we're welcoming all, but we are primarily a safe space for men to be able to express themselves after what they've gone through in court. So they may be a little bit triggered, okay? But we
definitely
try not to have any personal attacks. And if you post something, just be able to back it up with objective data. You know, that's all I ask as an admin. I just want you to bring data so we can all learn. But if it's name calling, and that goes for both men and women, you know, you'll get a warning, and you may be muted, and then you'll get booted. Just come
well,
in.
Which
we're
is
not
fair,
a bunch of
haters,
but we are sensitive to what's happened.
I think every parent out there is kind of in their own place in the journey. So it's hard when a lot of the guys, you know, as you said, they come to the group and they're overwhelmed and they're depressed and they're just feel like, you know, that they had to grab their ankles and you know, they just got screwed by the court. And some women, I don't want to say feminist, but, you know, that's just kind of like, hey, you deserve it kind of thing, attitude. And I don't know. I mean, I think you're right that a lot of the dads, you know, are looking for that support. And I appreciate other men like yourself that are out there trying to support them and advocate and basically putting out fires a lot lately. Because I do see that, you know, it does get pretty heated in the father's rights group.
But you know what? We'll get there. I mean, some of the ladies that are there that I mentioned, even you. I didn't mention you because you and I don't have battles, but I've had it out with a few of those ladies. Respectfully, I believe. I didn't call them names. I just stated my points and what I believed and just, you know, let them do theirs and just moved on. So I believe in open expression as long as you're just being respectful of each other. Some people have a sliding scale on what respect is. Me, I respect, you know, the Cindy's, the Nancy's, even Melissa, those ladies you see me communicating with, I respect them.
Yeah.
I really do. They have a lot of value, and you bring a lot of value. But that doesn't mean that I'm going to be sitting there like, okay. but either way, we're all in one big happy family. We've got a lot of good things getting ready to get launched. Larry is working hard in the background to make our voices heard. You know, last year in 2017, there were 20 states or more that had equal rights, equal parenting bills in their congressional sessions. So far, I don't know how many of them passed. I know Texas had one in there for the second year in a row, and we're trying to get all our voices to behave as one unit so that we can go and apply pressure to the folks that are out there fighting for us. Not apply pressure to them, but give them, you know, the tools they need to make a difference down at these state houses.
Okay, I like that. I know there is a lot of petitions out there. Do you recommend a lot of the dads to go ahead and look that up and sign it?
Yes, it takes 13 seconds. See, again, think like a woman, not for a woman. The reason that women are so effective is they move as a unit. They really do, and guys don't do that because, you know, we're by nature, we're like, okay, I can only get so close to you. You know, like when the man goes to the bathroom, that middle urinal never gets touched because we're like going to stand away from each other, right? But we've got to kind of embrace ourselves like, you know, the Spartans did. These were men that supported each other. And so we need to embrace each other, and work together and move as a unit. And the women that are in our lives that are supporting the rights, leverage that as well, and then make a difference. Give our leaders something to back them up when they go before, you know, their constituents, and let them know that, hey, we make a difference here. We have money, we have a voice, and we have rights. We need to have them enforced.
Definitely. That is so true. Well, our first guest is actually a return guest from last week, and he felt that his story, we needed to kind of dive deeper into it, and he would love to have kind of your insight. Unfortunately, it's a really complicated case, but welcome back, Eric. How are you?
Hey, Becky. I'm doing great. How about yourself?
I'm doing well. Well, I also have Mikey Rowland on the line. Mikey?
Hey, Eric. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. Hanging in there.
Yeah.
All right. Go ahead, Mikey.
I read the synopsis here, and yes, this is an interesting case. It's one of those cases that I say should be a slam dunk, and that adds to the frustration, right? Because there is obviously some very bad things going on here, or something that could be bad that needs to be confronted immediately. But go ahead, Eric. I just wanted to let you know that I reviewed everything that was sent over.
Thank you so much, Mike. I really appreciate that.
So, Eric, go ahead and tell the listeners and kind of just talk to us about, like, what's going on? What's going on with the case?
From the start, you know, Becky, I got a PFA put on me, child support and child custody. It happened within the 1 week back in August. Now, we went to court already four or five, I think it's been the fifth time already, and the final judgment was a couple weeks ago. But I'm having the issues with the PFA over a verbal argument. My ex came over here to the house. I'm living with, like, my aunt and uncle. They're not technically my aunt and uncle, but they knew me since I was 12. I fell off a roof back in April and demolished my whole right side. Long story short, I caught my ex sort of cheating on me. She was contacting the first father of her first son. Well, I called her over here, and I confronted her about it. We did get in a verbal argument. She ended up leaving. Didn't answer my phone calls for 4 or 5 days. Get a knock on the door. There's the sheriff's. Serve me paperwork on a PFA over a verbal argument. The sheriffs were laughing about all the stories that were said on it, too. They said, don't worry. We'll be there at the courtroom. And this is probably going to get thrown out. Well, 7 days later, I go in front of the judge. He gives me a 3-year PFA, the max, here in Pennsylvania. I'm sitting there shaking my head.
Wow.
Shaking my head over a verbal argument. So we, long story short on that one, we go to court for the custody situation. I go in front of the mediator. First words out of her lawyer's mouth was, we want a hair follicle test. He's a drug addict, alcoholic. I'm sitting there back looking at, you know what I mean, trying to figure out, is this even legal? You know, over hearsay, once again. Well, they gave me unsupervised visitations. I get them on a Monday and a Tuesday every week. Well, 2 months later, we go in front of a mediator again. We couldn't come down for a 50-50 agreement. Eric, did you do the hair follicle test? No. And then they take my unsupervised visitations away and make them supervised visitations with my ex supervising it. So we do that for 2 more months, go in front of the judge. The judge goes, did you do the hair follicle test? No. Shoot me straight down to the bottom basement for your analysis, which I admit I did come up dirty. Come back up. They make my supervised visits. They took 1 day, well, 2 days away. So I see my daughter every other Tuesday with my ex still supervising my visitations. Now, I did get jammed up for a PFA violation. I'm allowed to text her on the behalf of my well-being of my child. Well, 4 days prior to my custody hearing, she took all these text messages Merry Christmas. Thank you for letting me see the kids. Why are you tearing the family apart? Or they use that against me for violations for my PFA. Well, I went to jail. That Thursday, I went to jail. And the judge released me. He says, matter of fact, she does this 4 days prior to coming to see him. The same judge released me. I am dealing with the situation now with the PFA because that's on my record. I also had two witnesses here at the house that even wrote a statement saying it's all false allegations. Don't get me wrong, we were yelling at each other. But I look at it this way, how can some women do this when it comes towards custody and jam the guys up when it comes to the custodial rights and your custody rights? I don't think it's fair over just the hearsay. There was no police contact whatsoever, and it was just to make me look bad to go in front of the judge so she gets more of the rights taken away from me. You get what I'm saying? It's very stressful, and it's coming down to my breaking point. And I've been holding on, you know what I mean? Other people are helping me get through this. Chad from Fathers on a Mission, which I'm part of that group with those guys, they're helping me get through all this situation. But another thing is, like, I'm going without a lawyer. So it feels like I'm getting jammed up, too, because I can't afford a lawyer. She got a free lawyer through the Mid-10 Legal Services, which is like pro bono. She beat me to it. I called. It's a conflict of interest. I tried getting somebody else to do pro bono. Nobody would help me out. So I'm walking in to this fight by myself. And it's still going to keep on going on until my daughter is 18 years old or till when she says, hey, I want to live with my father. That's what it's coming down to. It's just very stressful, Becky, you know, just, and I just don't get it here in Pennsylvania how they can slap a PFA because they know when it comes to custody rights, you know, and all that situation, how some women do that to jam the guys up. And it seems like to be one of that cases that I got jammed up in.
Now, during this verbal argument, was there any threat at all to, like, her bodily harm? Like, I'm going to hurt you, back and hurt you.
The only threat that there was I opened my mouth up, and I should have kept my mouth shut, is I threatened her to take her to court for 50-50. And I should have did the whole thing and beat her to it. And I would have had somebody representing me. And all that situation, my mother even told me the same situation, that's where you messed up. You got a big mouth and you opened it up. You should have kept your mouth shut. And that's exactly what I did, and I screwed up right there when I told her, I'm taking you to court for 50-50.
Yeah, let me chime in here.
Yeah, I agree with Mom.
That is number two on my list of things, of strategy. It is do not make her angry. Kiss her ass for now and start the rating process.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's already done. I was going to ask you, Eric, you know, knowing what you know now, and you answered it partially, but, you know, I'm going to dig in here.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing what you know now, what would you have done differently on this case? And you said you would have kept your mouth shut, and I agree with that. It's not fair, right? But knowing what you know now, you know that's the smart thing to do. But I got to let you know that one of the things that I did in my first custody case after the mom took the children away and hid for about 6 months, when I did finally locate her, I took her to court and I made her take a drug test because I knew that she was doing drugs. She didn't want to take it, but the judge made her take it. I got to ask you this. Why did you not take that drug test?
In the mix of it, yes, I was drinking, you know. I wasn't in the heavy use that Saturday before because of everything that happened. I just broke down. Don't get me wrong. I'm a prior addict. I kept myself clean. Everything hit me from the situation, you know, the situation from falling off the roof till the custody situation. I broke down. I said, screw it. I went out and I used, you know, and that's what I should have never went that route. But I killed my depression and my stress, and that's where I screwed up. If I didn't do that Saturday, Monday was court. Saturday night, I went out, and I gave it all hell, you know. That's where I screwed up.
And you know, it takes a big person to admit that, but But the reason I ask you about that is because there are people that are going to be listening to this, and
mm-hmm.
you know, and if your story can help them, it can go a long way.
Mm-hmm.
Look, when I asked her to get tested, they said, hey, you got to get tested too. And, you know, I was 100% sure I was clean, but even I was like, wait a minute, you know, because I just knew her, but I didn't expect them to say, hey, you too, right? But
mm-hmm.
there's a bit of a sense of, you know, concern that, hey,
mm-hmm.
this comes up, going to get treated a certain way. So I get it, but I just want to let you know that is on my, mm-hmm. it's on my playlist, my playbook as well, to request a
mm-hmm.
drug test, right? Because
yep.
worst thing that can happen is what happened to you. Because even after mm-hmm. she failed the drug, you know what the judge said? Well, you know, it's just marijuana. That's not a really big deal. Now, I'm not asking you what you were doing, but I'm just saying that's what they did with her, right? So
mm-hmm.
I still had to go through a whole lot. Just over marijuana, I still had to prove that I was the primary caretaker of these kids and go through a home study and all that. So I just wanted
mm-hmm.
to get that out there so that if, you know, we can help other people, then,
mm-hmm.
you know, whatever at this point.
Well, they have me right now. They do have me on random urine tests. I have to call through Monday through Saturday. And if my number gets pulled, I go down there and I give me your analysis. I pay for it, too, on top of that. But it's the proof.
Mm-hmm.
I had to do it for 3 months, and I'll get more custodial rights back. Prove to the judge everything's all clean, and everything goes well in the 3 months. And like I said, I'll get more of my custodial rights. But I'm also scared, too, in a way, with the PFA situation, that she's my supervisor of my visitations. If I cough, I sneeze the wrong way, oh, he threatened to kill me, or he did this. Boom, I'm locked up in handcuffs again. You know, I'm having that situation. I'm scared.
So,
you know, I just don't know what to do about that. I know how there should be a third party. It should be a third party taking care
right.
of the situation, but there's not.
So let me ask you a question, because, first of all, now that this is all out there, I see the good side of this is you now have a target and a goal where you know if you do what you're supposed to do, what they said you're supposed to do, that you get some type of reward at the end of it, right? And
correct.
Sometimes
somewhat.
I'm glad that's right. But the third party, did they ask you if there was someone else that you guys could meet with? Like in my situation, it wasn't supervised by her, and they didn't let me supervise it. They asked her if there was someone that she trusted and I trusted that could be a part of that, right? And if
mm-hmm.
there was no one, then we had to use a court-provided person, which, again, costs money, right?
Mm-hmm.
But
correct.
I have a valid concern, man. I mean, that's a serious concern, and I believe that you should probably try to get in front of that if you can.
Mm-hmm. Now, there was nothing that brought up. Like, in the agreement, the last agreement that happened a couple weeks ago, it was their agreement that the lawyer wrote up, and she wanted to be the supervisor for our visitations. Don't get me wrong. I have people that are loving to do the third party, you know, so nothing happens and don't see me get locked up for some, how you want to say it, false allegation, you know.
Yes.
But it's not written on paperwork. I don't know if I should do it the next time I go and see the judge. Ask that, because I don't think that's right, you know. There should be somebody else there, you know, on my behalf and also on her behalf, too. That's fair. You know what I mean? So no one gets stand up, you know.
You're so smart. The way you just positioned that is the perfect way to do it, just for her sake and your sake. It's not
mm-hmm.
you being selfish. If there's somebody, do you know someone that she trusts and you trust?
Oh, I can get a hold of some people now. Now she, this whole situation, she distanced, you know what I mean, since the Cussie situation. I haven't really talked to her face-to-face, only just the well-being of my child. She knows the same people I know, but I can't reach out. I'd be violating,
well, no,
violating the PFA.
You don't want to reach out to her. This is between you and the courts. Is,
mm-hmm.
you know, any concern you have, where you're vulnerable right now, right? Because
mm-hmm.
she's done it once, right? So she can do
yep.
it again. So your concern, in an amicable manner, the concern would be, you know, just so that since we're making progress, we don't want to lose that progress. Can
mm-hmm.
can the courts petition for someone that she trusts and that you trust to be the overseers of those visits. Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's what I would do, honestly. I'm not saying that's what you, because I'm not an attorney, but that's what I, when I was in the situation.
See, I'm all fighting by myself.
and you know what? You can do that. If you don't try to eat the whole elephant at one time, right, this part of the law would be something like how to request a third party to, right, not how to try the whole case. But you may be able to even join our group and find someone that has gone through it and knows how to submit the paperwork. But right. You're in a vulnerable spot, and you're making progress, man, and you really do. You know, like you said, you're at a breaking point, right? If she does that, well, tell her what might happen, right? I know you can control yourself, but you don't leave yourself in that type of situation if you don't have to.
Yeah, that's correct. Now, there's also another, too, like on I'm having issues with our children and youth up here. They're not getting involved or an investigation. This happened at one of my visitations. I did catch my stepson kissing my daughter on her belly button, then her nipples. And then not even 45 minutes later, he tells two little girls up in the play area to pull their pants down, not once but three times. Me and the father jumped up. I brought my stepson down. I went out, and I told my ex, this is what happened, and the grandmother was there. She's like, oh, what is he making up that he just, you know, I mean, he didn't do. Well, the father saw that, came out, and told the grandmother and my ex, this is what happened. She turns around and says, oh, he has Asperger's disease, and took the kids and left. Now, we called children and youth three times, not just me. The other father did too, and it seems like the children and youth is not getting involved. Now we're kind of thinking this way, either the kids are being touched, which is sick, or they're seeing something that they're not supposed to see. Now we're having issues with that too. And that's the same week that when I got locked up, when we confronted her for the PFA violations, that's what she did, turn around. This happened on Tuesday. That Thursday is when I got arrested for the PFA violations. You know, trying to keep my mouth shut, you know, that's what happened on me that the week before our custody. That's another situation that I'm dealing with, too, because I can't go to the house and check up on my daughter. I don't know who's in there watching the kids, you know. I don't know what's going on in the household, and that's another thing on my mind.
So,
wow.
Becky,
I don't even know where to start on that.
Sorry, you guys are breaking up on me. You there?
Yeah.
No, go ahead, Becky.
I said, wow. I don't even know where to start on that.
That's another stressful.
For the CPS, are they having you guys do anything like parenting classes or anything like that?
No, whenever you're talking about the PFA?
No, for the open CPS case.
Oh, no, they're not doing anything about that. You're talking about the custody children and youth?
Yes.
They're not doing nothing. They're not even investigating anything, Becky. Nothing. Nothing. You know, and then when I went in front of the judge for that last hearing that we had, I mentioned that to the judge, and his eyes got all big. He looked at her lawyer. Do you know anything about this? Nope. Looked at my ex. Do you know anything about this? Nope. A half hour prior to that, we had like a little recess. I mentioned it to the lawyer, and he said, that's another can of worms. And my aunt, or I call her my aunt, but she's not my bud, they were in the back, sitting in the back of the benches. They heard the conversation that just went down. And for them to say that, pretty much they were lying. They knew about it. They knew about it. But when I mentioned to the judge, he closed the case, and that's where I'm at right now. But like I said, children and youth, not even investigating nothing.
So I have a question for you. The other father, you have his information. Does he have a documented recording of what occurred?
No, just through text messages. We talk. We still talk through text messages. He's actually a pastor at a church here, the next town, two towns over. Last time I talked to him was probably about 2 weeks ago, I'd say 2-3 weeks ago, prior of us calling children and youth, but I haven't talked to him since.
So you got a decision to make. Obviously, you're making progress, but if you pursue that right now, even though they're not doing anything, if you try to pursue that now, that can put her guard up and cause her to become a little bit hostile, but you want to protect your child, right?
Not just my child, but my stepson too. They're the two kids there at the house. Not just my own blood, but also my stepson also.
Right. Well, that's an interesting call. Now, I know what I would do, but, I'm not you. I haven't gone through this, though. I can tell you that it seems like you're in a 100-meter dash, but it really is a marathon. And
all right.
Sometimes, for me, I had to suppress my natural urge to try to make something happen in order to get some progress to the point where I could get it, I could have more sure footing, right, when I went to go do what I did. For me, I would actually get a deposition from the other father in writing while you still can.
All right.
And have that, and have that tucked in my pocket for when I get ready to unleash. But at this point, you are making progress with the the visitation, even though it's supervised by her. And if you can just kind of suppress it just maybe a little bit without getting her guard up, you may be able to get what you want. But it's hard to sit here and tell a father who's got those concerns that he shouldn't be acting on it, right? So you just it's a decision you're going to make, right? But I'd get all the data that I need, objective data from another person, so it's not you trying to be malicious.
All right.
And in writing.
And, you there, Mike?
Do you think he'd be willing?
I'm having a bad connection. Hold on a second. Let me step off to the side. You guys can still hear me.
Yeah, I can hear you.
All right, I can hear you guys good. Sorry about that. I'm having a bad connection over here.
Do you think he would be willing to write a deposition for you?
Oh, my gosh,
he would actually back?
Oh, my gosh, because I broke down and cried after that whole situation, and he came over and gave me his number, and that's how we started talking, And like I said, he wanted me to start going to church, too, his church, That's when we were texting each other back and forth for the whole situation. But he was shocked that children and youth didn't get involved.
I'm not.
I'm not. Wow.
I'm having a bad, bad connection. Hold on. I'm sorry, guys. I'm having a very bad connection right now.
That's okay. We can still hear you.
I can hear you guys good now. It was hard. I couldn't hear you guys for the past 30, 40 seconds there. Sorry about that.
Okay. That's okay. No problem.
But I'm just concerned, too, and it feels like how the courts is going here. I could see the drug and alcohol thing. I am 100% for that. That was the right choice. But we have shared legal custody, and for me to see my daughter for 4 hours out of the month, I think that's a little ridiculous. I want to see my daughter more, And this is a sad situation too. I'm seeing the kids more than I did when I was in the relationship with my ex, And that seems a little fishy. Because she does live with her mother, my ex does, and it kind of feels like she's going by what the grandmother wants, and that's how it's proceeding, and it feels, how you want to say it, childish in a way, I want to be there for my daughter, but I'm only being with her for 2 hours out of every other week, and it's like, that's nothing,
I agree.
That'll change though, as long as, you keep making progress. Again, it's a marathon. It took me 18 months the first time. Right? So,
all right.
How old is your daughter?
My daughter will be she'll be 3 in June.
Oh yeah, aww. Yeah. So it's gonna seem that way, but just stick to it, man. Stick to it and be smart. Mm-hmm. What can happen. Get you a plan in place to address that, right, just in case. You sound like a very smart man, especially knowing that, you've got evidence to show that things are going on that are not right. Just going to have to probably bite your tongue a little bit, suppress some emotions for a little bit, and keep making progress and get your footing.
That's great advice. And
thank you, Mike.
Eric,
thank you.
Yeah, definitely. That's great. Now, Eric, I know you're in Pennsylvania. What area are you? If I get any lawyers that reach out to you or anybody in that area to help support you or at least, you know, get you through this. What area
I'm out on the right outside of Harrisburg, the Harrisburg, Pennsylvania
okay.
area, just right across the river. I could throw a stone and you hit the hit Harrisburg with it.
Nice. Okay.
So, I appreciate Becky.
Well, if I have any family law lawyers that would love to help him, please reach out to myself, and I will definitely connect you to Eric. This is one of my dads that definitely needs some help and guidance and anything that will, help this case get forward. He just wants to see his daughter and be there. And, I mean, she's so little. She's only three. And
I can't even imagine
going through this. I mean.
And it's a sad thing about it, too, Becky. You know, it's not – it's hurting me. Don't get me wrong. But it's also hurting the kids, you know. And
yes.
My stepson, he's only 8 years old. He knows what's going on. But my daughter, she's three. She might know some a little bit. You know, get me wrong. But it's hurting them. And they're confused, you know. And we're putting all this situation, you know what I mean, back and forth. And it's going to screw with their minds. I'm sorry to say that because I know girls and other guys, too, that grew up with a split family. And how the legal system, too, on top of that, screws with them, you know what I mean, which leads to depression, suicidal, you know, and I don't want that happening with my kids, you know. It's a very, how you want to say, it's a very stressful thing that we're going through. Do I believe it's right? Some of it, yes, but it's just come down to conclusion and do it 50-50, you know, so we're both are in the kid's life, not just a split little quarter of it. You know, us fathers too, and mothers should be there for the kids. Should be a mother and a father, you know. And that's how I'm looking at it too, you know. And I'm thinking down the road, please don't have these kids all screw up like the people I know. You know, Becky, it's just, that's another thing that's on my head. it's been very, very stressful, Becky.
I'm sure, definitely. Well, what advice, as we wrap up here, what advice would you give to other dads out there that's going through this journey like yourself?
Right now, you know, it's very hard to say, Becky, you know. Definitely be on your P's and Q's and do what's right for your daughter or your son, you know. And to me, how it feels, I really don't want to say this, Becky, but like it kind of feels like I had a kid with the wrong person. No offense for saying it out loud, but at least check into it. Like it's hard to say. I thought she was the right one, but it turned out this is what's going on. And it went sour really bad, you know, and it's hard to tell. You know, I mean, when you first start dating some people and everything's going so smooth, you know, and you have a kid and everything turns around and flips to the dark side. You know, just be there, you know, just another thing too, just be there for your kids, no matter what, always be there for your kids. That's the only advice
that's
I have right now, Becky.
No, that's great advice. Well, thank you so much for joining us again tonight.
Thank
and I
you
hope
for
Mikey
saying,
was able to help us.
Thank you, Mikey. And also, like I said, I'm a part of a Father on a Mission too. And a shout out to, Chad Ginter. Thank you for so much too, but I know you're listening. But thank you for helping me get through the situation also. And thank you, Becky, and thank you, Mike. You know, I appreciate it so
yes,
much, guys.
Yes, of course. Well, have a good night.
Thank you, Becky. Thank you, Mike.
All right, Mikey. So we're going to wrap up. What advice would you give to other dads out there as we finish up?
Join Father's Rights. Look on Facebook and type in the search module, Father's Rights. We don't have a state following us. We're just simply Father's Rights. Join the group and bring your experience, bring your skills, bring your fire, bring your issues to us. Join us as one voice. We're looking forward to it.
I love that. Well, thank you, Mikey, so much for joining me again tonight. And I hope to have you back on again soon.
Oh, you stay away from them flu bugs there, woman.
I know, right? All right. Well, I would like to thank all our sponsors, listeners, and, of course, our network family. Make sure you stay connected to Sage Network by liking, following, hearting us on all social media at Sage Mentoring. And until next week, make sure you hug those babies. They grow too fast. Own your choice. Namaste and good night.